Let's get things started tonight. Welcome to the Southern Region RAC meeting, Bucks and Bowls. I'm Steve Flinders, the chair. I represent the Dixie and Fish Lake Forests. And if we start on my left, we'll introduce the RAC. Mike?
Mike Worthen, Cedar City, representative at large.
Mike Morrell, Bicknell, agriculture.
Dave Black, St. George, at large.
Mike Staley, Delta, at large.
Rusty Aiken, Cedar City, agriculture.
Richard Hepworth, I'm the aquatics manager in the southern region, and I'm here filling in for Bruce Monbrick.
Brian Johnson, I'm from Cedar City and represent the non-consumptives.
Harry Barber, I'm from Kanab, I represent the BLM.
Dale Buck. Dale Bagley from Marysville, I represent an elected official.
I'm Cordell Pearson from Circleville, and I represent at large.
Sam Carpenter from Kanab, I represent sportsmen.
I see a handful of public here tonight. The way this will work is the division will make presentations. We'll all then ask for questions from the RAC, questions from the audience, and then we'll proceed to comments. If you want to make comments tonight, that's what we're here to hear. Fill out one of those yellow cards and get it up front here, please. There's no questions. Review and acceptance of the minutes, gentlemen, from last meeting. The agenda look all right? Accept the motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes and the agenda.
Motion by Brian, seconded. I'll second. By Harry. Those in favor? Unanimous. Do we make sense of this? Is there more than one? Sorry about that. Wildlife board update. I missed the last board meeting. I've got in front of me the motions. Bruce Bonebreak was there in my stead. Looks like everything passed according to how we moved that night. And as you recall, there was an issue with ice fishing at Duck Creek. And Jake made a motion that it be added to the action log. So we're looking into that. Richard's looking into that. Any questions about the board meeting? Looks like from the motions it was pretty straightforward. Regional update, Richard.
All right, couple of things in the aquatic section first, since that's what I work in. Navajo Lake, we got the dike patched. The lake is slowly filling at this time, and we'll have to wait and see whether the fish make it through the winter. But we did get the dike patched, and we'll start working towards more of a long-term fix there. The other recent news, Lake Powell has tested positive for quagga or zebra mussels. We don't know for sure the level of infestation yet. There's been no adults found, just the larval stage right now. There'll be some more meetings, and we'll find more out tomorrow on that. But it looks like it's most likely infested with mussels at this time. It'll just get worse as time goes on, most likely. Law enforcement, if any of you saw the news of the last couple of days, our winter poaching has started. We found a deer down at Tokerville. When was that, Chris? Saturday night that was taken, and the only thing that was taken off it was the antlers. It looked like a nice deer. But that started. Hopefully it's the first and last. Wildlife section, They're starting their deer classification stuff. Anyone that may be interested in participating or riding along, contact Teresa. Youth pheasant hunt, we had that this last weekend. We had 12 inches of snow out there, but it still was wonderful, and it sounds like the kids all got pheasants, if not got their limit. They released 1,000 pheasants on that. The other thing is bighorn sheep. They just did a release out on the Kaprywitz, and Lynn has a video that we're going to watch really quick that talks about that. Yep, let's do it.
Couple other quick things. Our habitat section,
They're continuing to do a lot of the fire rehab work, and they've been installing two big game guzzlers, one out on the Southwest Desert and the other one on the Pine Valley. And that's about what I have for an update, if there's any questions.
What about that new proposed national park? Will that take in this sheep area?
I haven't seen anything on that. I don't know.
All around canyon lands. I don't know if that'll get out on the Parowich Plateau or not. Won't.
I haven't seen a map.
Yeah, I haven't seen a map on that.
Okay. Don't worry, they'll take as much as they can.
Sounds like fresh new controversy. Any other questions for Richard?
Someone has to agree with the
really nice video. That's neat. Is that a GoPro camera under the trailer?
Absolutely.
That was awesome. I failed to mention Lane Torgerson's excused tonight. If there's nothing else, let's jump into the action items. Anise, Buck Bowles and once-in-a-lifetime season dates and application timeline.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, RAC members. Glad to be in the Southern Region again, presenting to you the Bucks Bulls once-in-a-lifetime season dates. And we'll start out with the 2013 hunt recommendations for deer. Basically, no change from last year. Our recommendations are to basically keep the season structure as it was last year, just moving the date one day to adjust for the calendar. That'll be our recommendation for most of the hunts for this recommendation. As you know, this is just the season setting portion of our hunts. We'll come back to you in the spring and recommend permit numbers. So we won't be dealing with permit numbers at this RAC. We'll just be dealing with season dates. So the archery season will be from August 17th through September 13th. The muzzleloader will be from September 25th. Through October 3rd, and the any weapon season would be October 19th through the 27th. Moving on to elk hunt recommendations. Again, as I mentioned, the season dates did not change. For some reason, all the columns are out of whack. I'm not sure why that is. But the archery spike bull will be the same as well, the archery spike bull is August 17th through September 6th, and the reason that closes early is, as you may be aware, for archery elk, the limited entry folks hunt on the same area as the spike hunters do. So to give the folks that drew that tag enough time to hunt by themselves, we've taken off this last 7 days of the season to basically build in a guaranteed weekend during that 7 days. And that's the 7 days closest to the rut as well. So that allows those that drew the tag to have basically 7 days where they're not interfered by spike hunters. The archery any bull season is the same as the archery deer season, the August 17th through September 13th. The any weapon season, October 5th through the 17th. The muzzleloader season is October 30th through November 7th. And then the youth any bull season, that's on our any bull units for youth that draw that hunt, is September 14th through the 22nd. That's right in the height of the rut. It gives youth that do draw that permit a good chance at harvesting a bull elk. There is a late youth any bull season, and that's only in the northeastern region on the vernal subunit. And that hunt is a fairly long hunt. This hunt is designed to take advantage of some elk that are unavailable during the regular season that migrate off of private land onto public land later in the season. And the reason for such a long season on that is it's hard to predict when we get weather and when those animals move off. So we've made it a long hunt. That's usually, 15 or so permits, so it's not a lot of permits, but it gives those youth that draw that permit a chance to harvest a nice bull. Okay, I'll move into some of the statewide recommendations or changes. So we're recommending allowing youth to purchase unlimited over-the-counter general season archery deer permits. This is basically, if after the drawing, if there are any youth that were not successful in the drawing and they want to hunt, they can basically purchase these permits over the counter. There is some concern that having unlimited number of permits, will cause a strain on the deer population or harvest too many bucks. We have studied that, and if you recall, a couple of years ago, we had 11 or 1,500 permits that were available in this way, and really about only 450 youth took advantage of that. So we feel that even though it is unlimited, it's not going to be a lot of people taking advantage of it because archery tackle is not easy to just pick up and go. Most youth would have to be fairly proficient before they go out hunting. And obviously, if they're a youth, they're going to have usually a parent or guardian with them. It's just an opportunity to get youth into hunting if they did not draw. And to be honest, most youth will have a great opportunity of drawing because 20% of the tags are set aside. So even though this does, on its face appear to be, unlimited, people usually step back and say, oh, we're going to sell thousands. I don't anticipate we will. And if we start seeing that this is becoming more popular and more permits are being sold to youth in that way, in addition to the regular permits, then we can kind of start setting unit by unit permit allocations for that. So this first year, I don't anticipate, we'll probably get similar to what we've gotten in the past, about 450 to 500 youth taking us up on that. And those are unit by unit, so they have to pick a unit that they would hunt on. Okay, and then I'll move into some of the regional-based recommendations. Here in the southern region, the region's recommended changing the Fillmore Oak Creek South unit from a limited entry to an any bull unit. This actually has already been passed by the Wildlife Board when they did the unit plans back in last spring. This is just making sure that it makes it into the guidebook. So we're taking it out again to make sure that people realize that those that weren't able to attend maybe the RAC meeting where this was discussed. But it's something that it has already been acted on. But certainly any of these things can change, as you all know, if recommendations come from the regions. The second recommendation is to change the portion of the beaver unit west of I-15 to any bull as well. Those two units, the Oak Creek and that area of the beaver west of I-15, are fairly similar. Lots of private land, crops, not really great elk habitat. The elk kind of key into the agriculture. So those are the kind of units that fit kind of our definition of any bull units. And that's why the region is recommended. And again, this one also went through the RACs and passed the board already, but we're just making sure before we put it in the proclamation that everybody gets a chance to comment on it again. Okay, the southeastern region has a lot of recommendations, but basically these are all minor boundary changes to make different species align with one another for the hunt boundaries. So even though there's a lot of verbiage there, I'll go through them one by one, but it's really not a whole lot. It's just making sure these boundaries all match. So they recommend modifying the Henry Mountains deer, elk, and bighorn sheep hunt boundaries, basically, and the San Rafael South pronghorn hunt boundary to exclude Capitol Reef National Park. Now, currently, the boundary goes through the park. There's a road that goes through the park. But we say in the proclamation that it excludes the reef. So this is just to make it clearer that even though the road goes through it, you can't hunt in the park. So we've actually moved the boundary and made it the park boundary on that. Modify the Bookcliff South bighorn sheep and pronghorn hunt boundaries to match the deer boundary. When we went to the 30 units, we moved the boundary slightly. It used to be the Green River. It's about a quarter mile in. It's that road that basically runs along the Green River. It just makes it a better boundary, and it excludes some of that agricultural ground that's in there. Similarly, modify the Bookcliff Bitter Creek South limited entry elk boundary to match the deer boundary. That's the same exact boundary change that we made on the other one, but since the Bookcliff South includes not the whole Bookcliffs unit, it has to be its own boundary. And then modify the 9 mile Range Creek hunt boundary for pronghorn elk and bighorn sheep to match the changes on the Bookliffs. Since we moved the Bookliffs, the 9 mile Range Creek is the neighboring unit. It takes up the change just to make sure that everything matches up. Modify the La Salle Mountain San Juan limited entry elk boundary to match the changes made for general deer. Basically, where this area is between the La Salle and San Juan units, it's kind of the northwest part of the La Salles. It's pretty desert country, but occasionally you'll get a deer and elk using it. And when they did the deer boundaries, they decided to kind of, the La Salle took that area out, so that both the San Juan and the La Salle had to be changed. And this is just basically to make elk and limited entry elk match that as well. And then modify the La Salle potash bighorn sheep and La Salle South Cisco pronghorn hunt boundaries so they are the same. Currently, those two species have a little bit different boundaries. So what the region did is made them both the same boundary, and they'll call them the same thing. So they'll both be called the La Salle potash / South Cisco. So it combines those two units and makes them the same boundary. It's just mostly housekeeping stuff, but just to make consistency so we're not having to draw different boundary descriptions and different maps for everything. The northern region, some boundary description changes and some hunt additions. They're recommending changing the Pilot Mountain limited entry elk boundary to include some private land where depredation is currently occurring. Right now, the boundary kind of hugs the base of the mountain, the Pilot Mountain range, but there is some private land out a little bit in the flats where we do see elk, and they are causing some depredation where the region and the landowner felt it would be good to take a few of those animals and maybe teach them a little bit that it's not where they need to be. Premium limited entry elk hunt on the Cache Meadowville unit, basically to make it consistent statewide. As you know, a premium hunt on our elk units means you can hunt all the weapon types. And currently on that unit, there isn't one for some reason. I think in the past there just wasn't enough permits, but now that there are enough permits, we're going to include a premium hunt on that unit as well. Add a bighorn sheep hunt on the Pilot Mountains for 2013 per our agreement with Nevada. The Pilot Mountains, as you know, basically straddle the boundary between Utah and Nevada. And in the past, what we've done, if there was enough permits to both have if there was enough sheep to both have a permit, we've done that. But in the past, it's been basically 1 year we have a hunt and 1 year they have a hunt. That population is not doing great. We did have a die-off a couple years ago, but there is a pocket of sheep that did well and are still surviving, and they counted quite a few rams. So this coming year, there'll actually be enough sheep on that unit to have two permits. So we'll have one on our side, and Nevada will have one as well. And on that unit description, the hunter can hunt both sides. They can hunt into Nevada, and the Nevada hunter can hunt into Utah. And it's the same with elk on that range. Allow harvest of either sex on the Ogden Extended Archery Deer Unit to be consistent statewide. On the Wasatch Front, currently you can hunt either sex, but on the Ogden Unit, it's buck only. And basically to make it consistent during that extended archery season, we're going to allow hunters to take either sex. It really makes sense on those front ranges to do that. Basically, the reason we have those extended archery hunts is to harvest deer that are basically living in neighborhoods or in close proximity to neighborhoods. So this makes it consistent statewide and not have it be different on the Ogden unit. And then last thing in the northern region is clarify the boundary description, basically to inform hunters that there is an area around the feed row in Hardware that is close to hunting. That's usually been posted and will continue to be posted, but it has never been in the proclamation or in the rules. So those hunters that maybe are new to the area may not realize that you can't hunt in close proximity to the meadow there. So it won't be a boundary description, but it'll be something that lets them know that if they come to a sign that says posted no hunting, that's the rationale why, that it's they're getting close to the meadow, and that's kind of a safe area for elk. Central Region recommendations. They're recommending adding a late any weapon bull elk hunt on the Wasatch, Nebo, and Deep Creek units to reduce crowding. On those three units in the past, the first couple of years we had this hunt, they actually did have a late hunt, but then we started seeing that the harvest success was almost the same during the late hunt as it was during the rut hunt. So we decided instead of having two hunts, just, you know, since success rate was the same, we concentrated them all during the rut. But those permits since that time have been creeping up, and now we have quite a few permits on that rut hunt. So they decided to reinstate the late hunt to basically spread that hunter crowding issue. It likely won't change the harvest a whole lot, but it will at least make it for those people who do draw those hunts have fewer people to contend with. They're recommending adding a premium limited entry elk hunt on the Deep Creek unit. This is similar to the one I said earlier that's on the Meadowville unit. This unit hasn't had one in the past, but it does have enough permits to have one, so to make it consistent with the rest of the state, we're recommending a premium hunt on that one. So basically, as I mentioned, if they draw that permit, they can hunt all season. It's not like it's its own unit or anything like that. Recommending adding a mountain goat hunt on the Nebo unit. After they did the survey this year, they have enough goats to have a hunt on that unit. About half of those goats are on Lofer and half of the goats are about on Nebo. So there's enough goats there now to have the first hunt on that unit, and it's very exciting. That's something that's been a long time coming. And then they're recommending discontinuing the late doe only hunt on the Wasatch Front Extended Archery area to basically be consistent with the Ogden area. So on the Wasatch Front currently, there's the either sex hunt that ends the end of December. Then there's a 15-day end of November. Then December 1st through the 15th is a doe only hunt on the archery. And it's really, not needed really. We've got a long enough season. Those that choose to harvest a doe can harvest one during any either sex season. So to remain consistent along that whole front, Ogden and Wasatch, we're recommending doing away with the doe-only hunt that extends the season by 15 days. Okay, now coming to some of the key dates for the 2013 season, the big game drawing for bucks, bulls, once in a lifetime. And new dedicated hunter applicants is basically as it kind of was last year, February 1st through March 4th. So basically the whole month of February and a few days in March. There is an extension for those people who want to apply for a bonus point or a preference points or withdraw their application. They actually have until March 11th to do so. And then results of the drawing should be posted May 31st. Okay, some additional key dates. Lifetime license questionnaire and unit selection deadline. Basically, since this was the first year of unit by unit this past year, we asked them to fill out a questionnaire. From now on, since most of them have chosen a unit, they'll automatically get that unit for the next year unless they send another questionnaire in saying they want to change that unit. This is for lifetime license holders. So if they do decide they want to change it, it has to be in by March 4th. Those that did not hunt in 2012 and failed to send us a questionnaire or change the thing by the deadline, basically we'll have to see what's left over after the drawing and then pick up one of those tags. So if you don't get it in by the deadline and you haven't hunted in 2012, you're just going to have to see what's available over the counter. Shed antler and shed horn season dates. This hasn't changed. It's been that way for a few years now. You have to have the online course completed and printed out a certificate if you want to gather shed antlers or horns from February 1st through April 15th. If you want to do it any other time of the year, you don't have to have that certificate. And then hunters may purchase or sell big game or its parts. Antlers, heads, and horns of legally taken big game can be bought or sold February 15th through July 31st. The rationale for that is to not have people selling heads and horns during the hunting season because, it could be going out harvesting a big buck and then selling just the head. Inversely, untanned hides and legally taken big game can be bought and sold during the hunting season, because that's usually when those hides are still good. If it's a green hide that you just took off, we want people to be able to do it legally during that time. That hasn't changed at all as well. It's just always been the dates. Okay, some additional key dates. These are disabled hunter general season hunt extension dates. In the past, you know, it was kind of something that was in the rule, and we never took this out, but these really don't ever change, so we decided to actually make them as part of this recommendation. So the majority of them are preseason extensions, so this allows those disabled hunters who apply through our offices for this extension to hunt these dates. And these are people that have to be permanently disabled. With a note from the doctor and all of that. So the archery deer dates, it's a preseason extension, so they can hunt before the season starts, August 12th through the 16th. The muzzleloader, they can hunt September 20th through the 24th. The any weapon deer, they can hunt October 14th through the 18th. And the archery elk, they can hunt August 12th through the 16th, just like the deer. Muzzleloader, any bull, they can hunt November 8th through the 13th. And they can also hunt the any weapon bull elk, they can hunt September 14th through the 22nd. And they can also hunt in that area in the northeast region during the same time that the youth are there, so if they have an any bull tag. So it's that really long hunt late in the season. The muzzleloader spike elk hunt is November 11th through the 15th, and the any weapon spike elk hunt is October 18th through the 22nd. Those last two are postseason, so they can basically go hunting after the season's over. That's my presentation. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Questions from the rack? Wow, that was thorough. Questions from the audience? I think unprecedented. Seeing no questions, we'll move on to comments.
Lee Tracy. You say that on those unlimited archery youth deer tags, is there a quota or a cap on any of the units? If 100 of them choose one unit, would you issue those?
Yeah, it's unlimited on all units.
Good question, Lee. Any others? Moving to comment cards. You're close to the mic, Lee. Go ahead. And Braden Richmond. Braden has two hats tonight.
My subject isn't on the agenda, and I'm not sure if this is the proper meeting to have it, but I would like to see the statewide archery deer hunt return. I've done quite a bit of research on what happened and why it was removed, and find no viable reason for removing it. No biological reason, certainly, and the Wildlife Board actually voted for it on a 4-3 basis, with the chairman breaking the tie. They went against four of the five RACs who voted not to implement it. Some of the conversations that took place in the RACs that were made by individuals indicated that they wanted to keep the statewide archery hunt, even though they were in favor of the option two. And the two largest bow hunting organizations in the state also voted to keep the statewide archery hunt. There are only 16,000 archers statewide. Their success rate is 18.5%, and so it impacts very, very few of the deer. Additionally, we're hunting bucks, which does nothing to increase the herds. And the reason for removing it was to increase the herds. I would like to see it returned. And I ask you to recommend to the Wildlife Board that they do that.
Thanks, Lee. You did pick the right meeting and the right agenda item for that topic. Braden.
Braden Richmond. Braden Richmond representing Beaver SFW. Beaver SFW agrees with most of the division's recommendations. We have one concern, not necessarily disagreement, on the change on the boundaries on the Beaver unit for the elk. We're a little concerned with the reasoning for doing that. We don't see that there's a major impact as far as agriculture. However, we do agree with this change if, in fact, we can do it to support the deer herd on the west side of I-15. We think that that should be the emphasis for this change. Several reasons there. That deer herd has some phenomenal gene pool, very wide open country, easy to hunt, easy to shoot them. We'd like to see that herd split, another unit added. What we would like to actually ask for is a limited entry unit there. That does a couple of things. One, it obviously has another hunting opportunity for quality bucks. Also, it's a huge recreational opportunity for the whole state right there on the I-15 corridor, where you could come down, have very easy access to view great deer year-round. So we think it's a win-win situation right there in that unit. In our unofficial straw poll of Beaver County residents, the majority is in favor of this, and the SFW committee voted unanimously that we'd like to ask for that. That's all I have for Beaver SFW. Changing hats. So representing myself, I have a concern with the dates. I've come to several racks. I hope this is the right one to address it. I'm always told I'm at the wrong rack. I cannot. Is this the right one,
this
Steve?
This is it. You're
Thank
here.
You.
It says season dates.
Okay, good. I cannot figure out why we continue to hunt bull elk in the rut with a rifle. The archery hunt we share with spike hunters and deer hunters. Lots of pressure, not a great hunt, a primitive weapon. Muzzleloader hunt, we share with deer hunters. Primitive weapon. Rifle hunt, we put in the middle of the rut, all by themselves, 100% success rate, and then we wonder why it takes us 20 years to draw an elk tag. In addition to that, we're issuing more cow tags in limited entry units than bull tags. It's illogical to me. I can't figure out why we're continuing to do this. My proposal would be that we remove this from the rut. We increase the elk tags because if we lower the success rate, we can provide more opportunity. Large bulls will live because they'll hide because they aren't rut crazed and stupid. And to me, it's a win-win, other than the guys have waited 20 years to hunt in the middle of the rut. But some of those guys are dying of old age now, so I think they'll be happy. Thanks.
Thanks, Braden. Question for you. Rusty.
On the limited entry unit that you're talking, they're all limited entry. Would this be like you're suggesting a premium unit or a...
No, limited entry is different than general season. The problem with general season, if we up the age class made a general season, your lifetime license holders and dedicated hunters can get that tag ahead of the draw. So we want to make it limited entry, so we separate it out from that general draw. That's the reason for doing that. We'd love to just increase the age class and keep it in the general pool, but then you have your lifetime license holders that will monopolize those tags.
Okay, I'm still unclear. So it would be a general season limited entry? It would be
a deer limited entry, not deer general season, deer limited entry. So it excludes the
so
once in a lifetime license holders.
So the Brook Cliffs and the same as that?
Yeah, right. Yep.
Does the division want to respond to some of the things they've heard tonight before we start discussing these things?
Sure.
Specifically, beaver elk boundary, that the logic behind that.
Do you want to speak to that? I'll have the biologist speak to that, and I'd like to speak to the limited entry deer thing as well. What he's done.
So the
Riley Peck.
Riley Peck. Sorry, I'm recently became the biologist in Beaver and Miller County. The elk herd that we have on the west side of the Beaver is, we do find that it is kind of a a lot of private property, a lot of limited access for the hunters, and the habitat that we have on it is not the the greatest that we have for a limited entry elk unit. Consequently, our hunter success and our hunter satisfaction rating on the west side of the of that side, from the hunters that we talked to as well, have talked about how they're less satisfied with the elk because of the limited access that we have to that area. And so it makes sense to the definition that we have in the division of what a any bull area should be. So.
Thanks, Riley. So yeah, it's I guess just to add a little bit to that, it's similar to kind of what the Oak Creek is currently. Very similar habitat between those two sides, both west of the highway. Just not great elk habitat. Elk can live there, but they're being supplemented by agriculture, really. So that's the main reason for it. And as you know, there were two committees formed on those units, and they came to that decision as a committee. This isn't just a DWR recommendation. So sportsmen were involved. The local landowners, the BLM, the Forest Service, all the folks were at the table, and they all decided that this was probably a good way to go. I'll switch gears to the limited entry deer. I guess as a division, we're not opposed to it. What we are for is to actually have it be a more inclusive process. As you know, when we do decide to go that way, we usually like to either have committee do a statewide plan or a unit plan, and really to have one group say, yeah, we want it that way without going through that process makes us uncomfortable to do that. The statewide plan is coming up in 2013, and it can be discussed then, and I think the unit plans for the southern regions are up again in 2014, and it can be done at that point. To do it at this late stage from one, this is something that will affect statewide. It has statewide implications, and we haven't heard it in any other region. So to have one, region, kind of driving that, just makes the division feel uncomfortable, because we like to get broad scale consensus on that. Again, these things do get discussed every time we open up the statewide plan. There's always good ideas, the people wanting them to be this one limited entry, that one limited entry, but when you actually put it out there to the public, it often, does not get that. So that's, the short of it for.
Thanks, Anise. Further discussion with the RAC?
Is there any way that I could comment on that?
You have more information?
Well, I guess my only comment would be that our chapter would definitely support if we could just get it on the agenda. That's all we want. Yeah, so we aren't asking to make that, change. We just would like to get that on the agenda.
I think SFW has a member on every management plan that's drafted.
And if this board felt like they wanted to make put it forward as an action item for, or put it on the action log, ask the board to put it on the action log, they can pass a motion
Certainly.
To that effect.
Certainly.
And then I'd also like to deal with the season date stuff as far as why we hunt bulls in the rut. A lot of this is social. It's not biological. The majority of our hunters are rifle hunters. And as he mentioned, most of them have been putting in for 17 years now. And to go switch it on them now, I think we'd hear an outcry. We have thought through this, and we did a couple years ago put together a change in the hunt structure that we hope to be revisiting. It will be a discussion topic at the board work session in December. So we'll be kind of resurrecting that. It doesn't totally take the rifle out of the rut, but it kind of, puts archers in the rut a little bit, puts muzzle loaders in the rut first, and then the rifle hunters get it last. They're still in the rut. So it kind of brings everybody into the rut. And we do in our management plans have a late rifle hunt that in the statewide plan, it says that no more than 65% of the permits can be in the early hunt. So it does at least reserve at least 35% of the permits are always in the late hunt, or, they can't be any less than that, I guess. So I do agree that we do hear this a lot. You know, why do the rifle guys get to hunt in a rut? And, you know, everything we do is through, you know, a public process, committees and all of that. And every time we do that, we kind of come up with the same thing. There are those that are going to be outside of what we decided because their views are not the same. But really, when we get everybody at the table, we seem to come up with similar things.
Thanks, Denise. To move comments up here and keep things moving along, I was surprised personally that how specific the statewide elk plan is, and it's because elk, I think, are so controversial. But it'd be nice if there was more flexibility for local working groups and individual management plans to be able to specify weapon splits. 65%, the rifle tags in the rut, it's a hard number.
Yeah. Well, it can be lower than that.
Yeah.
But it can't be higher.
Can't be higher.
They can, if the local biologist felt like he wanted 50%.
But the late hunt specified as well.
No, the late hunt's not. You have to have at least, you can't go above 65 on the early. So you could go 30 on the early and 70 on the late. You just can't go above 65. We don't want the majority to be in the early. Well, it's the majority, but no more than 65.
I guess. The majority, but no more than 65.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, if the local biologist, and I think Sean did this on the beaver a few years back, where he put more permits in the late hunt. So, it can be done, and we can deal with that when we set permit numbers. I mean, if the folks, you know, if the local biologist feels it's doable, and the folks in the area, you know, get his ear, I think that can be done. And if they come to the public meetings as well, the permit numbers can be changed. You don't have to have the majority in the rut.
It's hard to take something back.
Yeah.
Dave, you had a comment.
Well, I just had a comment on a little different topic as well, on the key dates for the season where they post the results of the draws. Also, at that time, they post the results of the dedicated hunter program. And I'm a strong supporter of the dedicated hunter program for a number of reasons, but we have some activities where we use dedicated hunters. We have St. George Fishing Derby, which we have about anywhere from 400 to 800 kids show up on a weekend. We've also started the last couple of years during the week. We have a special needs fishing day where we involve some of the local schools, and we need dedicated hunters to come and take time off work to be there. And these all occur prior to May 31st. And there's also the banquets that require a lot of time and effort. And by waiting so long to post the results for the dedicated hunters, there's a third of those in our pool that we use that have participated for a long time that are still waiting to see if they've drawn out or not, and it's hard to get them to show up. And so as an organizer, I'd like to see if there's a way we can get back on the agenda the dedicated hunter program as far as when they post the results. From a personal side, you know, last year, my wife was put in and she drew out, but we didn't know until after these other things had come up. Fortunately, we had a fishing derby at the Hurricane Pond, and she was able to help there. But, you know, she's 50 years old. She's a female. She's a school teacher. She's not going to go out and do a lot of the things that are physical, and helping with the derbies and stuff like that are good opportunities for her to do that. Next year, I'll be putting in. And if I wait till May 31st, I'm probably personally going to have over 40 hours in 2 or 3 months that I'm going to do regardless. But then if I draw out on May 31st, I've got to come up with even more hours than the 40 that I've already put in. And it seems that there ought to be a way we can either bank the hours or do something to help the program a little bit more for that lag period.
I could address that a little bit. The dedicated hunter program is not in the begin program, believe it or not. It's in the outreach program. But having said that, we have talked about banking hours, and I think that's probably the best approach, just because when we've gone to 30 units, the drawing almost has to happen at the same time as the general drawing, and that's the reason why you have to wait till May 31st. And then plus, if we start seeing more dedicated hunters come online, you do have those that are in their second and third year that are able still to do projects as well. So only first year applicants are the ones that are affected by the May 31st date. So there's some options there. But I agree with you. When this was first recommended, I said we should be setting up a program where you can bank hours, because I know hunters will do things, you know, before they know they draw, and then if they have the hours already there, they're done. There was some pushback from the coordinator at the time, and that's why it didn't happen. We just advertised a job. We'll probably have a new coordinator for that dedicated hunter program in here pretty soon, and hopefully if we can convince them that it is a benefit to be able to bank hours, I think they'll see that. And it was more a procedural thing. They thought it would be difficult to track hours of dedicated hunters that are not in the program. And, you know, they just didn't see the vision. And I think if they're shown ahead of time that it can be tracked and it's not a big deal, I think it's doable.
Rusty.
I think the banking would even just be for that year. It would go away, yeah. For the following year, they'd have to do it again.
Yeah, you know, we could explore the options. They could bank them forever. I mean, if somebody's doing work for us, why not give them credit for it? And then whenever they do get into the program, they've already done the work. So we can explore. There's limitless ways to do it. But I agree with you. That's something that was discussed at length initially, but it kind of got put aside. But I think we can resurrect it for sure.
Cordell.
Yeah, I just have a quick question for you on that. The beaver unit that you're going to have an open bowl on, mm-hmm. How much access, public access, is there on that unit? Or is there any at all? Or is this just strictly going to be set up for the people that own the property to bring hunters in and let them hunt?
There's a little bit of public land. I'm not super familiar with it. Maybe Riley can elaborate on that. You know, that's the reason it would make a good any bull unit. Most of our any bull units either are primarily private land, or they have enough wilderness in them that makes access hard. And that's how you actually protect the bulls from being over harvested, is because of that access limitation. The more private land that's on it, the better it fits into our any bull structure. But Riley, do you have any?
It's got to be 98% public.
It's mostly public,
between I-15 and Milford Highway.
Yeah, there's a lot of public, but I imagine.
Range. Right, I know where you're talking
about. I imagine
the
elk are going to be keying into the private land where the agriculture is.
It's spectacular elk winter range, but it's poor summer range. And now that I-15's fenced, you know, there's a little mixing back and forth. And,
right.
Okay, my next question is, okay, what about depredation hunts on that unit?
We currently have depredation hunts, but those are mainly for cows. We don't have depredation bull hunts.
Okay.
The Forest Service doesn't really have a horse in the race for the west side of the beaver unit, but sitting in the management plan meetings, the last two go-arounds, as soon as we start talking about the habitat projects and improvements on the Tusher Range, the mountains, all of a sudden we're talking about depredation and problems in Milford and around the I-15 corridor. You know, those elk are getting in trouble. And it's a small group of elk, really. But it precludes moving the discussion forward to, you know, to really talking about what the possibilities are on the mountain. Is I think where we ended up with that discussion both times and trying to deal with that out there. And a lot of folks want to feature mule deer out there and not necessarily elk. Other discussion?
Yeah, I have something else to say. And I agree with you, but the question that I'm asking is if it's 99% private and there's no access.
Public.
It's mostly
99% public?
It's BLM.
So it's all public?
Mostly public, but the elk tend to hang around the agriculture in the summertime because that's the only green spots.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Other comments and discussion from the rack? Are we moving towards a motion?
One thing.
Sam.
Yeah, and this isn't for you, Anise, believe it or not. This is the gentleman talking about the statewide archery and trying to get that back. I've hunted down here, and I'm an archer myself. And this year, having this unit by unit and having a control on the number of archers that are in there, it was like there wasn't even a hunt going on. I mean, it was just awesome to be able to get out, get into a place, and stalk these deer and not have people driving by going. We get hammered down here, and I know that, you know, and he says we've done studies and it's not overcrowded and all this, but I can tell you it was a whole new deal this year, and the hunters that I talked to are elated with the fact that we had done this. And we're very happy to have this unit-by-unit management for archers.
Go ahead, Cordell.
Okay, and I would just like to second exactly what he said, okay? Because this year, on the Beaver Mountain, it was awesome. There wasn't 19,000 four-wheelers riding up down the road with bow and arrows strapped to them, so nobody killed nothing. The people that drew the archery tags had a great hunt, and we fought this thing and fought this thing, and I have nothing against archers, love them to death, but we just keep giving and giving and giving and giving. I mean, they got 28 days to hunt, everybody else has 9. So that's 3 times as many days to hunt as a muzzleloader or a rifle hunter has. And it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, the more that we give, the more that they want, you know? I think this works, and I think we should take a look at it for a few years and see how it goes before we start changing everything in 6 months.
More comments. Are we working towards a motion, somebody? Rusty.
I got to talk about this unlimited archery youth thing. I'm a little afraid of, is there a way we could put a limit on those things for each unit? You're certain it's not going to get out of hand?
I'm not certain of anything, but the data that we have so far says we'll roughly have 500 archers statewide, youth archers that'll take us up on it. You could put a limit on it.
Limit it to 500 then, or 600.
Yeah, I mean, we've had as many as 1,500 and when it was statewide, and they could hunt anywhere. Now they have to pick a unit. So, and then we will know where they hunted. So I think it, as a way to get our youth into the hunting sport is nothing better than having unlimited. So any, if dad drew this unit, you know, junior can go buy a tag and go hunting with dad. So to me, you know, we could set up a limit, but it, you know, then again, you have youth that are unable to go hunting once that limit is reached.
Yeah, I understand. I appreciate that.
I say, you know, if you feel uncomfortable, you can. I hate to have an arbitrary limit because, you know, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, and you'll have some units hit it and some not. Again, these are youth hunters that they're going to have somebody with them. There's not very many youth that archery hunt. I mean, as you know, the equipment's not cheap and it takes practice. So I don't see a lot of them going. And the majority of youth will draw in the drawing if they put in for a rifle. And if they put in for a rifle, they can hunt all 3 seasons. But if they have archery, that's all they can hunt. So there's more of a draw for them to put in for rifle hunts, even if they're archers, because then they can hunt all 3 seasons. So, you know, this is something that we feel will be good for getting youth into the hunting. Again, you know, if we find after one year or 2 years that we're seeing a lot more of it happening, and then we'll also survey them and see how good what they're harvesting, what their wounding rates are, and things like that. And we'll know, you know, how many they're harvesting. I mean, just because you have 500 youth archers out there, their success rate's likely going to be lower even than the adult archers, which is about 18%. So we're talking, you know, harvesting, you know, maybe 60 or so you know, a deer or something like that. So.
But it's also the exposure, the traffic, the thing we're trying to get away from. These deer just get pounded and pounded. We're trying
Another 500 hunters in the whole state, you know.
Well, if you limit it, that's...
Well, no, I'm just saying that's what's likely going to be there. If we see it go, I mean, we had 1,500 set aside statewide, and we never hit that. You know, so I think we could have it be 1,500 and it still wouldn't be an effect on a statewide basis. It's just, there's lots of area. It's not all of them are going to end up on one unit. It's just not the way it works. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just going to go more than likely where dad goes, or in their backyard, or, you know, in their area where they can get out on a short notice. Again, you know, you guys are free to make any motion you like. I'm just saying why we recommended what we did. Just looking at, we had it for 2 years, and it never went up above 450 when we had 1,500 permits. And that's when they could hunt statewide. So they could hunt, you know, the South one weekend in their backyard the next. And to me, that's more of a draw than picking one unit for, you know. So in any case, that's the rationale. We did it unlimited. We figured, let's see what we get. And if it ends up being, I don't anticipate it being a whole lot of youth. But if we end up seeing that, and the reason why I don't anticipate it is very few don't draw. We looked at the data, how many youth hunters put in the draw and how many don't draw. And, I think there's only a few that don't draw. And those that don't draw end up putting in for the hardest units. I think any youth can hunt anywhere in the state if they wanted to. In the drawing, they could draw a tag. As long as they don't put in, you know, for the really hard to draw units, which there are only a handful of them in the state. So, again, you know, whatever you guys decide to do, you know, we can take forward, but that's our rationale for it.
Anise?
Other comments?
Just one more question about that same thing. So if I'm understanding you, they have to put in and not draw in order to go buy a tag, or is it something that's going to entice them to come and get a tag?
Right. They don't have to put in and not draw, but these permits will become available after the drawing is done. So either it's a youth that forgot to put in a drawing, or a youth that put in and didn't draw, or maybe one that just wanted to hunt archery on this one unit. You know, when it comes to youth, the easier you make it, the better off it is. And the more, you know, the more stipulations you put on it, the more youth you're going to push out of the hunting business. So.
Wayne.
Dale.
Sorry.
You all right? How many roughly then do you figure don't draw a year? Is there an idea?
Yeah, I think the one we looked at, it again, these are when we were statewide, and we don't have data for this last season because this was the first year of unit by unit. But we figured there were roughly 2,300 that didn't draw, 2,300 youth total that did not draw. But most of those, I'd say 70 to 80% put in for the southern region, which was the hardest region to draw at the time. So those that put in for any other unit or any other region when we were on a regional basis drew. So now that it's on a unit by unit basis, it's going to be, you know, we don't know how many will not draw. I think the majority will if they put it in certain areas, but there could be some that don't. Again, this is just trying to get, you know, if dad drew a tag on this unit and junior wants to tag along, he can buy an archery tag, especially if they're archery hunting. So it's probably not going to increase harvest a whole lot. And if it does, we can cut permits. I mean, our system is set up to, you know, issue permits, harvest the animals, do the classifications. If we over harvested, we reduce permits. That's the way the system is set up. And really, you may over harvest 1 year, but you're not going to do it 2 years in a row. So And to me, to over-harvest 1 year is worth it if you gained X amount of hunters.
Well, and I agree. I'm not anything against youth. I just think if there's a certain number that aren't drawn out, maybe we ought to look at kicking up that 20% of youth,
sure.
Kick it to 25 so
we
give all our youth, whether they bow hunt or rifle or muzzleloader or whatever. I mean, the success rate on archery and muzzleloader isn't that far apart, you know.
Right.
And plus, these kids only get maybe 2 weekends
right.
to hunt, you know. So, I mean, like I said, I'm not against anything that's
right.
going to help the youth get
And that's
tagged.
Why we did it for archery and not the other weapon types, because they have such a long season, they could, you know, go out their backyard, you know, on any weekend during that 28 days or after school or whatever, you know, or, you know. So that's the rationale for doing it in archery, because it is such a long season, they can take advantage of it. Where the other weapon types, you're right, you know, most times they have 2 days, 2 Saturdays to hunt, and even if you give them a tag, a lot of times they're not going to be able to. So.
Ryan.
On a personal note, I think it's a great idea to give kids an opportunity to pick up a stick and a string. I don't think the impact's going to be that much. I really think it's something that we ought to do. There's these different opportunities that we put a little carrot out to dangle in front of these kids. I think we need to seriously consider approving this one. On another note, from a non-consumptive point of view, I would like to see more viewing opportunities on this Beaver Mountain on the west side, if we could maybe put this as an action item to get the ball rolling in that direction of making it, having the discussion of limited entry hunting, because right off the I-15 corridor, that would be a great opportunity for people to go and look and to view some wildlife that isn't clear over on the Henry Mountains, that isn't clear over on the Ponsagot, that's not on the Book Cliffs. It's right off the I-15 corridor. The viewing on it would be fantastic. It sounds like the locals are behind it. I'd like to see us pass a motion to get the ball rolling. I think you called it an action item to send up to the board or something.
So basically, you could ask the board to look at it or ask us to look at it and see how feasible it is. Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. I just wonder if there's any more comments with the RAC, with any of that. Well, I think we could tie that in with the motion with this. I just that's just something I wanted to discuss. If anybody else was interested from.
If you feel strong enough about it. Cordell.
Okay, I'll make the motion that we accept what has been proposed here by Division of Wildlife, except for, before I go through with this, I just want him to answer one question, if he can. If we limited the archery, and this is a question, if we limited the youth archery to 100 tags per unit, okay, that's what, 2,900 tags?
It'd be 3,000.
3,000 tags,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, we got 30 units. Okay, if we limited that, are we going to have the same opportunity pretty much instead of overcrowding one unit with these 2,900 youth?
Yeah, I don't know if you'll have the same opportunity because, you know, If the 100 sell out and that 101st kid whose dad drew, he's not going to get to go. So it is limiting it somewhat. But, yeah, you're right. It won't overcrowd one unit. But, yeah, and that's one way of dealing with it.
Okay, well, I'd like to make a motion that we accept your proposal as accepted and we limit the youth archery to 100 tags per unit.
Seconded by Dale. Everybody hear that motion? Discussion on that motion?
Aye.
Go.
Wait. I'd like to make an amendment to that motion that we have an action item to discuss making that west side of Beaver a limited entry deer unit. To send that up as an action item.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rusty. Discussion on the amendment. Let's do the amendment first. Is
Seeing no discussion, let's vote on the amendment only. Those in favor of asking the Wildlife Board to make that an action log item, hold them high. Those against? I look unanimous. Going back to the original motion, Cordell's to accept the agenda. Item 5 is presented. Accept limit use archery permits to 100 per general season unit.
I have
discussion.
I would like to vote that 100 up and down as a rack. I would like to make an amendment to that motion as well, that we just do it as is, leave it unlimited, let the opportunity for youth go. I would like to see how this rack feels just about that part of the portion of this motion. So if we could, I would like to make a motion that we, I don't even know how to word this.
It's not really an amended motion. That's just opposing what his motion is.
Okay.
I think we vote on that motion on the table.
Okay.
There are no objections.
Question. Yes, sir.
Mike.
Do we have good enough information from this year's hunt to determine the impacts that 100 would have on statewide or on any individual unit?
No, the harvest data for this year is not yet available.
So we have no idea what we're even talking about here on the 100 limiting?
Well, I mean, it'll be a potential of 100 more hunters on units that have thousands. Well, some of them may not have thousands, but
and my concern isn't 100 more hunters. It's making sure that maybe we're not giving more permits in an area that it can sustain.
Yeah, and you know, we'll deal with that once when we get the harvest and do the classifications. We'll reduce permits overall on the units that are below objective. So that kind of takes care of itself. Having 100 permits plus or minus is really, you know, on most units is not that big of a deal. And then if we find a unit that's bad, we could even say, you know, youth hunters can't go on this one or something like that if we feel that it's an emergency. But for the most part, I think harvest was, you know, from all indications, was pretty good and maybe even above average this year. So we'll have to see what the postseason classifications show us.
Okay, then another follow-up would be if they fail to draw in that 100 permit process, their second choice would be still the same. The second choice would have to be within that 100.
Yeah. So since they're over the counter, once one unit sells out, they'll have to pick
so
another
it's
unit.
Over the counter.
Yeah.
Nothing drawn.
Right.
Rusty.
So what's the deer tags numbers? 93,000. What's their?
We don't know what they are. I mean, last year they were 86.5 statewide.
So this is 3,000. We're talking about 3,000 permits above that.
Correct. But that gets adjusted annually depending on buck-doe ratio.
Further questions? Discussion? The motion on the table?
So if we limit this to 100 tags, is it we're going to have a second draw? Is it going to be first come, first serve?
It's over the counter. So once the unit sells out, they'll just have to pick another unit. It won't be a drawing.
I just can't see limited. A kid. I mean, I know we hate bow hunters in southern Utah. I just didn't know we hated kids.
I think we're ready for a vote.
Let's vote.
Remember, we have one voice. And
you know, I think you got the wrong idea here. There isn't anybody hates kids. Okay? So I think your statement was ridiculous. I think it's great.
Strike that from the record.
Any more discussion?
Motion to strike.
Let's vote on that. Motion by Cordell. Those in favor? See those, Lynn? Those against?
Harry, did you abstain?
I did.
representing the BLM, I can't see how either one's going to make a negative or positive impact. I didn't receive any feedback from others on this, so I'd rather abstain on this one.
Did I see 4-3?
6-3.
6-3. Motion passes. Thank you. That does in agenda item 5. Let's take a 10-minute break and move on to number 6, Scott McFarland. Let's get started again. Move through this. We're ready when Scott's ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, RAC board members. I'm Scott McFarland. I'm the Private Lands Public Wildlife Coordinator for the division. I replaced Boyd Blackwell, who's previously been presenting at these RAC meetings. And tonight I'll be presenting the 2013 Buck and Bull CWMU and Landowner Association recommendations for the division. Before I go into the meat of this, it'd probably be appropriate to explain what we do with, I'll be doing the CWMU program first. What we do with the CWMUs, we receive different types of applications every year. Basically, there's three types of applications. There's a new application, which is obviously somebody who hasn't had a CWMU before. A new category would be a previous CWMU that has changed land ownership or property boundaries or property acreage greater than 34% would kick them into the new category. And then a change application. Oh, and also if somebody has, say they didn't, they stayed out of the CWMU program for a year or two, but they were previously a CWMU, that would kick them into the new category also. And a change application is the other, a renewal application is CWMUs that have been in the program. Their application is approved for a 3-year period. And at the end of that 3-year period, they're required to renew that if they choose to. And we have some of those in that category tonight. And then a change application. The CWMUs are allowed to change certain parts of their applications and their management plans during during their 3-year period. The things that require RAC and board action are permit numbers, season dates, and splits. The permit allocations that requires a RAC and board action. So on the applications for the CWMUs, we had 8 new applications this year. 2 of those are due to land ownership changes that were greater than 34%. 1 was increased acreage greater than 34%. They added approximately 7,000 acres to an existing CWMU. 2 did not have certificate of registrations for their CWMU the previous year, but they were previously were CWMUs, and 3 brand new applications. 10 CWMUs required renewal. They're at the end of their 3-year period, and all 10 of those did reapply. 8 CWMUs submitted change applications requiring the RAC or board approval. They either did their change permit numbers or season dates or their the permit allocation was changed. We have four CWMUs in there that the division is recommending reductions in their permit numbers due to changing big game numbers in those units. They are limited entry units. And we had one discontinued application that it was added into another CWMU. All in all, based on the approval from this year, they have 120 CWMUs. There's a proposed 120 CWMUs, as I said. The northern region has the lion's share of them with 71 CWMUs. Northeastern has 7. Central region has 13. Southeastern region 16, and the southern region has 13 CWMUs total. Over 2.18 million acres of land are enrolled in the CWMU program. 97% of that is private land. 444 private landowners participate in the CWMU program. So for the 2013 CWMU Buck and Bull, recommendations, this would be the total numbers for the CWMUs. It would be deer, 1,983 private permits, 262 public permits. Management bucks would be 4 permits, private permits, and 1 public permit. Elk permits are 903, and private permits and public permits would be 137. And pronghorn, 74 private permits, 53 public permits. And moose, 49 private permits and 31 public permits. For a total of 3,013 private permits statewide and 484 public permits statewide, which constitute about 14% of the total permits. So I will go through the recommendations by region. In the northern region, we had 3 new applications. One of them was due to an acreage increase. This is the one, the Strawberry Ridge added approximately 7,000 acres to their CWMU. And they are deer, elk, moose, and pronghorn CWMU. They also added, because of the added acreage, deer, elk, and moose permits to that. Their pronghorn numbers stayed the same. And the division recommends approval of that one. Whites Valley and Sage Valley Outfitters are both in Box Elder County, Unit 1, and the division recommends approval of both of those. Those are deer CWMUs. Okay, they had 6 renewal applications. These were previously CWMUs that were at the end of their 3-year period. There was very few changes to their applications, some permit adjustments here and there, but basically they're the same as they did on their previous 3-year applications, and the division recommends approval of all of those. I have to count them here. There's on the change applications in the northern region, there were 7 change applications, and most of these are addition of a permit for one of the species, deer, elk, moose, or pronghorn. The division recommend approval of all those. One of them was a permit split change on Double Cone. They added approximately 640 acres of public land into there. They actually dropped one private permit and added a public permit as a result of that. So the public, it was is the beneficiary of that. And division recommends approval of all those change applications in the northern region. Okay, and we had, and in the northern region, we had 4 change applications that were recommended by the division, and these are all moose in the Ogden unit. The reason that the division recommended a change is because it is a limited entry unit for moose, and they had a reduction in permits allocated for the unit. Therefore, the CWMUs were also asked to take a percentage reduction in that. Then what the change would be for the broadmouth unit, well, the broadmouth South Canyon and Sharp Canyon units, the change would be all of these are in a three-year application. They're in the 2012 is the first year of their application. They have to maintain a 60-40 split, public and private permits. And so when we do that, they have to take a percentage cut. And we didn't do anything because 2012 season's already over. So the change would be for the second and third years of their application, 2013 and 2014. And Broadmouth, South Canyon, Sharp Mountain would basically over a two-year period for the next 2 years would be cutting two public permits and two private permits. What they would be doing, they have, let's see the best way to explain this. In 2012, they would have had two public and two private permits, all three of those. For 2013, they requested two private permits and one public permit for both 2013 and 2014. What they would be reduced to is one private permit and one public permit in 2013, and there would be one private permit only, no public permits in 2014 for all of those. And Bear Spring, there's just one change in the permit. They dropped one private and one public permit off of that CWMU in the next 2 years. So that would be the change that the division has recommended. We have a split recommendation. South Canyon and Sharp Mountain, they have been notified about the action and invited to come to the RAC and the board meeting to state their case on that. So... Northeastern, yes.
Unless anybody objects, we assume you're following the rule and everything on these. Are there any split recommendations in the southern region CWMUs? I submit we cut to the chase in the southern region. If there's any split recommendations, we never argue with you on CWMUs.
Okay.
In my 8-year tenure here, so
if you want,
that's okay with you.
If you guys would like me to shorten
this up,
I definitely can. Region? Shorten it up.
Let's go to the southern region and talk about any split recommendations in case they're here. We love what you do. You follow the rule.
I don't want to talk that long either.
We're familiar with the rule. That's why he makes the big bucks.
Something's not coming out quite right here. This is the southern region.
any controversy here? Any split recommendations? Or
there's one thing that needs to be get discussed on this, and the grazing pasture. There's grazing pasture is a previous CWMU that changed its land ownership more than 34%. It's the same CWMU it was. It was grandfathered into the program. It has been a deer and an elk CWMU. And in order to maintain that, we have a provision in the rule where it goes through a process where it goes through review through our division and also the CWMU Advisory Committee. It has gone through that process. The CWMU Advisory Committee had a majority vote recommending approval of that. This is a CWMU that has been very, very good hunting unit and provided good hunter satisfaction in the past. And they've recommended renewal of this one.
And so, I think that was one of the earlier CWMUs in the program, really, way back when.
Yeah, this is one of the older ones. So mm-hmm. It was previously grandfathered in. And there's no changes to the CWMU. In fact, Vance is, I think it's the same person that's operating it.
Because it's under 10,000 acres.
But it's under 10,000 acres, yes. It's a 6,700-acre CWMU, so that would require RAC and board approval. And that concludes the CWMU recommendations portion.
Awesome.
Okay.
Questions from the RAC? Questions from the public? I don't have any comment cards.
We really have a question.
I really have a question.
Okay. Give us a question.
I know we're trying to blow through.
I'm glad you stuck around. We're not. We're here.
Braden Richmond. Just a question, and it's just because I really don't know. Why are the deer percentages, public and private, so low? You know, you made a comment it's a 60-40 split. Antelope's about 60-40, but deer are only about 10% to the public.
The CWMUs have different options. The best option for the landowner to take is a 90-10 split with deer and elk. Moose have to be a 60-40 split, and pronghorn are a 60-40 split also. They can choose to do a different option. They can do it an 80-10 split or an 85-15 or an 80-20 split or an 85-15 split. What the splits do for them is if there are antlerless permits, it gives more antlerless permits for the landowner. If he chooses an 85 or an 80-20 split, I believe it's 25% of the antlerless permits can go to the landowner and 75% go to the public. If they choose a 90-10 split on those, 100% of the antlerless permits go to the public.
Very good question. And don't get me wrong, I'm just trying to focus and make our time most efficient, and we're here to make sure everybody hears what they want and is able to provide feedback. I don't have any comment cards, any further questions or discussion. I think we're ready for a motion. Mac.
I make a motion that we follow the recommendations of the DWR on CMU management plans, unit numbers.
Moved by Mac, seconded by Dave. Any discussion? Those in favor? Any opposed? That looked unanimous. Thanks, Scott. Number 7, landowner permits.
Okay. I'll start this one, too, with maybe explaining the Landowner Association program that the division has. Landowner Association is an avenue where in limited entry units, private landowners can pool together, and as long as they can come up with a simple majority of 51% of the private lands located in that limited entry unit, they can form an association, and they're eligible to have a portion of the limited entry permits that are allocated for that unit. And the proportion is proportionate with the amount of land that they have in there. If they have 50% of the land in the limited entry unit in the private landowner association, they would be eligible for 50% of the permits for simplicity's sake. So, the intent of this program was to make the wildlife valuable on private landowners' property, to help them to want to manage for their property for wildlife. It also was a means of compensation for them providing big game habitat for our big game animals in the state. And in some instances, it also allowed the division to increase wildlife numbers in selected units. So, statewide, we have 14 applications. It's down one application from 2000 and from last year. We had 14 applications received. We recommend approval of 10 of the applications as we receive them, and we have 4 split recommendations on these. Total numbers for the landowner permits for 2013 would be 127 deer vouchers, 3 management buck vouchers, 77 elk vouchers, and 7 pronghorn vouchers. This is what the division is recommending. And we have split recommendations. This is supposed to get a reaction from you here, so we're not really butting heads over it, but the split recommendations all came from this region. And what they are is the Pavant Mountain Landowner Association. They requested 7 permits, and I believe that's the same number that they had for 2012. They qualified for 5 permits, and the division is recommending 5 permits. And this was due to a reduction in the overall limited entry permits for that unit. The Ponsagant Landowner Wildlife Association, has management buck deer permits. They requested four. They qualify for three, and the division is recommending three for that landowner association. South Fork of the Sevier River is a buck pronghorn landowner association. I believe they had six permits in 2012. Because of a reduction in the unit permits, they qualify for four, and the division is recommending four. And Indian Peaks is a bull elk. They're requesting three. They qualify for three, and we recommend three. They just would like to have them premium permits, which is not allowed by rule. And that concludes the presentation for...
Scott, explain what's premium versus non-age. You're going to get it. Premium permits, why they do they get hunt all three seasons?
They get, yeah, they get to hunt all three seasons with a premium permit. That option is just not allowed by rule. It's not an option for it.
They have to take three September rifle permits?
Can you help me out on that? I'm not sure how that works on those.
Yeah, I think they could choose any of the seasons. They just can't have all of them.
Question from the rack? Dan.
Just one quick one. How do you determine what they're qualified for when you go through that criteria?
Okay. And if you're looking at a specific unit, I can have the region address that. But
the Pontagon was the one that I was questioned about, and I told him that you had a formula for that. And
yeah, we have a formula for all of them, but maybe okay. I'll have Dustin. He could probably explain that better, the process they went through to determine that number.
How come I didn't ask you this morning?
Yeah, you should have. We look at the percent of LOA enrolled lands versus the percent, or like, and how that matches up with the percent of total species acres across the unit. So if the LOA represents 10% of the species acres in the unit, then we'd give them 10% of the tags. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks.
Other questions? Mike.
On the Pontagon, wasn't it last year that the group came in and requested an additional buck deer and was granted to them?
A management buck deer? I believe it was, yeah. Is that, do you remember?
Yeah, there was a, we actually decreased the management tags last year. And so we were trying to decrease for the Alton CWMU. And so they were asking for to keep that additional permit.
Yeah, we're missing Wade this year. Can't believe he missed the party.
Let me clarify that. Last year, the discrepancy was on the CWMU, not the Landowner Association.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Questions from the public? I have no comment cards. Ready for a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the recommendation as the division is presented.
Motion by Rusty, seconded by Brian. Discussion on that motion? Those in favor? Any against? Vote unanimous. I failed to recognize Jake Albright here earlier from the Wildlife Board. He stepped out for a phone call. Thankful for him to come here. Anything else tonight? I have no other business. Ready for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Brian. Next meeting is December 11th in Beaver. Falconry, guidebook awesome. And rule.